Would you turn with me to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm? The most familiar Psalm in the Word of God. Believers as well as unbelievers could pretty much recite this Psalm. The bride in Solomon's Song, the Song of Solomon, declares that her bridegroom, as she gazed upon him, she said of him that he's altogether lovely. She said he's without a flaw. In other words, he's perfect. He's perfect. She must be speaking of Christ. Must be speaking of Christ. Who else could that describe? Who else is perfect? Do you ladies look at your husbands in that way? Perfect? Without fault? Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the bridegroom of His church, in whatever character you view Him, whatever attribute you want to consider individually, His power, His mercy, His grace, His greatness, consider them individually or all together, how they blend in perfection only in Him. Only in Him does mercy and truth meet together, righteousness and peace come together and kiss one another. He's exactly that, isn't He? He's perfection. Absolute perfection. In everything He ever did it perfectly. He perfectly obeyed the law of God. He perfectly brought in an everlasting righteousness. He perfectly satisfied divine justice so completely. Well, perfect means it's done. You can't add nothing to perfection, can you? And our Lord Jesus did that in all that He did. He said, I'm the bread of life. Consider Him as the bread of life, and He's perfect. Because Him that cometh unto me, He said, shall never hunger again. The fountain of living water, consider Him in that light, and again, He's perfect. He says, whosoever drinketh of this shall never thirst again. He's the bridegroom, and He does everything perfectly for His bride. He's the Lamb of God, who perfectly took away all the sins of all His people. And here, as in many other places, He's described as the shepherd. The shepherd. There's many texts that we could have went to use to illustrate that. He Himself said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. Now He's speaking up to the Pharisees on this occasion. They claim to be the shepherd of the sheep. They claim to be the leaders of the people. But our Lord told them, you're not the shepherd. You're hirelings. If danger comes to the sheep, you'll leave them alone. You'll let them be devoured by wolves. Not me. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And that's exactly what God the Father said He would do. When He said, awake, O sword, against the man who is my fellow. Awake, O sword, against the shepherd. Smite the shepherd, just as our Lord said. And in Hebrews chapter 13, He's described as the great shepherd of the sheep. He reigns in glory for His sheep. And in 1 Peter, he's called the chief shepherd. Peter says that He will appear again to bring all of His sheep home. All of His sheep home. Isn't that comforting? Everything for His sheep. And David, you recall, he was the youngest of Jesse's sons. And being the youngest, it was his responsibility, his duty, it fell to him to tend the sheep of his father Jesse. When the prophet Samuel was sent to Bethlehem, the home of David, to anoint the future king of Israel, as each son of Jesse passed before him, Samuel thought to himself, surely this young, strapping man must be God's chosen. He must be the anointed. And God said, that's not him. Sam, you're looking on the outward appearance. You're judging by outward appearance. He said, I look at the heart. I look at the heart. And one after one of Jesse's sons passed before him. And God said, he's not the one. And Samuel finally asked Jesse, do you have any other sons? You remember what Jesse said. Well, I've got one. There's another one, the youngest one. He's out tending sheep. Didn't think it was even necessary for him to be here. Samuel said, go fetch him. Go fetch him. Go get him. And David comes in, the youngest, ruddy-faced David. And God whispers by his spirit to Samuel's heart and says, this is he. This is he. This is the future king of Israel. David is at last brought in by God's grace, and he's anointed, though it's some time before he actually ascends the throne. But he's anointed Israel's king. You remember what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Why not? Because people will say God called them for that reason. He called them because they were mighty. He called them because they were noble. No, not so. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. For this reason, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh has any grounds to glory in the presence of God. But there is a place where you can glory. There is a place where you should glory if you're a believer. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Oh, if that's so, then, according as it is written, he that glorieth, glory in the Lord. That did all that for you. Before David was a shepherd of a nation, of multitudes of people, he was the shepherd of his father's sheep. But there's one greater than David spoken up here. That's the shepherd of his father's sheep. His father committed the keeping of the sheep into his hands. And he pledged to his heavenly Father in that covenant of grace that in most churches today, sadly to say, you could set month after month and year after year and never hear if there be such a thing. But the Bible speaks of it. That everlasting covenant of grace, God the Father committed into the hands of his Son, and his Son pledged to become responsible for them. He became a surety. That means he promised to do everything necessary to bring them back to the Father's house, to redeem them, to save them, to keep them, to preserve them, and bring them to glory. And that can only refer to not David, but the Son of David. Yes, he is the good shepherd, and he's the great shepherd, and he's the chief shepherd. But of all that, even though all those are true, look what David says here in verse 1. Yes, he's the good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd, and the great, and the chief. But all those things that he is means nothing to me personally. I can't claim him to be any of those things to me unless I can say this, he's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I won't attempt to get beyond that. I've thought about that so much. That's rich, Brother Lowell. The Lord is my shepherd. Here's where the sweetness is really found. Here's the icing on the cake, if you will. He's my shepherd. Then everything that follows I can claim. Everything comes beneath that. Everything David mentions here, everything Christ is, everything He does, everything He promised is mine if He's my shepherd. If I can take these words to be my own, and oh, I can rest here, can I not? He's my shepherd. Then if He's my shepherd, He's my chief shepherd, and my great shepherd, and my good shepherd that laid down His life for me. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? People today try to divide Him, and it's preachers' fault. They've told rebels who want to remain in their rebellion, they want to tell sinners who refuse to bow to Jesus Christ that they can still be saved, that they can still have Christ as Savior. They divide Him. He's Savior, but if you don't bow to Him, He's simply not your Lord, and you might lose some reward. Is Christ divided? Is He mutilated? He's one. He's perfect. You can't pick and choose. Every sinner that's saved bows to Jesus Christ. What nonsense. But I'll tell you this. There are multitudes, and they're increasing by the number, of poor, deceived souls that claim that very thing. Jesus is my Savior, but I have yet to bow to Him as Lord. That is so sad. What a deception. What a rude awakening they're in for. No doubt they'll be among that multitude that said, Lord, Lord, did we not thus and thus? And He says, depart from me, I never knew you. No, if we can claim Christ as my shepherd, then every sweet verse that follows here in this most comforting of Psalms, indeed, don't confine it to just this psalm, but all the psalms and all the Word of God. Everything you find, every picture, every type, every sacrifice that is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's my shepherd. And all that He is, all that He's done, all that He's promised to do is for me. It's for me. It's for all of His sheep, all those to whom He is their shepherd. There was a lady teaching a class, a Bible class of young children. And she had been teaching them about the preciousness of Jesus Christ. Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 2, said He's precious. He's precious to all that believe. To all that's really tasted, they know that He's precious. He's precious to God the Father, though rejected by man, yet chosen by God, elect and precious. And Peter said He is preciousness itself. And she was teaching them along that line, and she asked them, what does that mean? What does it mean that Christ is precious? Those little children just sat in silence, pondering. I just about picture my little six-year-old granddaughter. She'll have a question and she'll just look up to me, and you can just see by her expression the curiosity in her face. But the teacher asked, what does that mean that Jesus Christ is precious? And finally, one little girl said, well, my father said that Mother is precious, because what would we do without her? And I thought, that's a pretty good definition of the preciousness of Jesus Christ. How precious is He? Think of what you would do without Him. What would you do without Jesus Christ? Where would you be at this moment without Jesus Christ? There would be no salvation. There would be no hope of heaven. There would be no forgiveness of sins. There would be no shepherd. There would be nothing but misery and the wrath of God awaiting us except for Jesus Christ. What would we do without Him? Blessed is the man or the woman who can truly say, by God's revealing Christ to them, the Lord is my shepherd. Let me read you a verse or two concerning that very fact. Genesis 49, verse 24. But His bow abode in strength, and the arms of His hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And from thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Our shepherd, we're told, is the mighty God. In Isaiah chapter 40, we're told He will gather His sheep. He will gather His sheep. Speaking to Pete just before service, she said she was watching one of these prophecy experts on TV. They've got it all figured out. And they say that in the latter days, the restoration of animal sacrifices will begin to take place again in Israel. I have to chuckle. It's really sad. It's not a laughing matter. But what nonsense. No, no. The reason the world exists is not due to what the Jews may or may not do. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly anyway, but who is one inwardly. The true Israel of God are those whom Paul spoke of when he said, so all Israel shall be saved. They are not all Israel that are called Israel. Just because you're a son of Abraham, natural descent, doesn't mean you're a son of God. Oh no, this world exists exclusively for this reason. Because the great shepherd of the sheep is calling out His chosen. He's calling out those that the Father gave Him. He's gathering them one by one. One by one. He says, my sheep hear my voice. And when they hear my voice, they'll follow me. My sheep will be willing in the day of my power. Because all that the Father giveth me, I love this, that's why I quote it so much. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Not most of them. Not the majority. He said all that the Father gave me. A multitude. Multitudes. Multitudes shall be saved. Christ redeemed multitudes with His precious blood. People here, you believe election. Election. Ooh, ooh. A nasty word. Bad word. No, it's a glorious, glorious truth. And they'll accuse you of believing only one or two will be saved. They've never heard anybody that really believed that say that. Oh, no, no. I believe that a multitude that no man can number will not might be saved. They shall be saved. Christ redeemed them, and in time He's going to call them, and He's going to bring every one of them to the glory, and none shall be lost. There's no question about that. God's grace is always effectual. Therefore, Christ, the great shepherd, our shepherd, says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. That's not discouraging. He'll gather them by the preaching of the gospel. By the preaching of the gospel, they hear His voice. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What a reason to preach. What a reason to invite. What a reason to witness. God's word will not, it cannot return unto Him void. And we could go on and on. But here's the pearl of great price concerning the shepherd. Again, the Lord is my shepherd. Whatever He is, all that entails is mine. If so, if that's so, if the Lord is my shepherd, I really don't have any grounds to fear. Do I? This is what pretty much what David says in the remainder of this psalm. If the Lord is my shepherd, I don't have any reason to be fearful. I am. I do. But the truth is, I should be ashamed because I don't have any reason to be. If He's my shepherd, if I'm His sheep, if I'm in His hands, I couldn't be more secure. I couldn't be more safe. All the reason. We have all the reason because He's our shepherd for comfort, for hope, for peace. Let's turn to John chapter 10 for just a moment. We quoted the verse from there a moment ago, but let's look at what our Lord said here in John's Gospel chapter 10 concerning Him being the faithful, good, chief shepherd of the sheep. Here in John 10, verse 14. Again, I remind you, He's speaking to the enemies of God. The false teachers, the Pharisees. And He says, verse 14, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. I know my sheep. But they know me too. I reveal myself to them. And am known of mine. As Bobby sometimes sings, I am His, and He is mine. As long as God and I shall be, I am His, and He is mine. As the Father, verse 15, knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I'll do my very best to bring. No. I must bring. I promised my Father, I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. I like the shells of the great shepherd, don't you? So much more comforting than man's hope-sos and maybes and doubts and pouts. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power. Oh, hear the great shepherd. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Oh, how He knows His sheep. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We have a very good example of that in Peter. Remember that night when our Lord said, all of you shall deny me. All of you will rather forsake me. Peter said, not me. They all might, but not me. Peter, our Lord said, before the sun rises, before the rooster crows, you'll deny you even know me. You'll deny that you've ever had any acquaintance with me. And you'll do it three times. And Peter was sincere as he could be. He was sincere as he could be. He said, that's just not possible. I'm willing to die for you. If I'm willing to die for you, how would I deny you? Oh, he had a lesson to learn, did he not? Oh, the danger, the folly, the foolishness of leaning upon the arm of flesh. How soon after Peter spoke those words was he not found cursing and denying the very Lord that he promised that would never happen? But our Lord knew Peter better than He knew Himself. And He knows you and I better than we know ourselves. He says, I know my sheep. He knows who they are. He told the Pharisees one time, you're not my sheep. That's why you don't believe. You believe not because you're not my sheep. My sheep will hear my voice. And when they hear, they'll believe and they'll follow. He knows who His sheep are. And He knows how they are. Now we try to cover up things about ourselves so they don't become obvious to one another. But that's vanity, I'm sure. But oh, I find great comfort in knowing that He knows all about me. He knows all about me. He knows how I am. He knows how weak. how foolish. His sheep have a tendency to wander, to go astray. They don't know what's good for them. Oh, but he does. The great shepherd does. He knows who they are. He knows how they are. And he knows where they are. He knows where they are all the time. Does that not ring a note of comfort to your heart? He knows where you are all the time. And he knows what you need all the time. All the time. The shepherd is able to keep his sheep. He's not only all-knowing, but he's all-powerful. We read concerning our shepherd that he's able to save to the uttermost. All. Oh, I love that. He's able to save to the uttermost all. He has 100% success rate. It was prophesied of him, he shall not fail. It's just out of the realm of possibility. He shall not fail. Therefore, all that come unto him, he's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to keep them from falling. And he's also able to bring them all the way home. That's our shepherd. You remember in Luke 15, when the Pharisees said to his disciples, your master eats with publicans and sinners. That's despicable. And he spake that parable. Which of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one, doesn't go out and look for it? And he looks for it till he finds. He knows where it's at. He goes straight to where it's at. And he finds it. Picks it up. Puts it across his shoulders. And we're told he comes home rejoicing. And he says to his friends, come rejoice with me. I found my sheep which was lost. Was that premature? I mean, I've heard preachers say we've got to wait. We've got to wait to see if we hold out. If we can hold on and hold out. Oh no, Christ rejoices because he knows the salvation of his sheep is not dependent upon their holding on or holding out. It's dependent upon the great shepherd in whose hands they're kept. That's why he rejoices. He knows they're going to come home. He's going to bring them home. And they rejoice because that's so. Look again at this verse in Psalm 23. These first few precious words. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. The Lord, the all-glorious, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the Lord of heaven and earth. That being so, he being the mighty God and the everlasting Father, he that possesses all wisdom and all power. No wonder he said, no one can pluck my sheep out of my hand. I mean, who would that be? Who would be able to do that? Father, you've given me power over those people who are willing to allow me to exercise it? No, you've given me power over all flesh, and I exercise my power over all flesh. He's always in control. He's always on his throne. He's always ruling. We read in Psalm 90 that from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The more literal translation of that would be, thou art everlastingly God. You've always been God. You've always ruled. You've always reigned. The Lord is my shepherd. And he has his way in the whirlwind. The clouds are but the dust of his feet. Oh, dwell on that blessed truth. The Lord, your shepherd, he shall not fail. The Lord high and lifted up. The Lord over all and blessed forever. The Lord God omnipotent that reigneth. In Revelation we read that they rejoice. They rejoice over that blessed truth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He's my shepherd. He's our shepherd. It must be well with my soul. Again, why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't it be? You know, we read of that night on the stormy sea when the disciples, fearful for their life, awake the God-man. The God-man is going to speak to that storm, peace, command it to be still, and the waves just lie down, and yet he's tired and he's sleeping. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh, but they wake him and ask him this. What a foolish question. But I'm as guilty as they. I can't find fault with them. Done the same thing. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Lord, aren't you aware of what I'm going through? Don't you realize this burden? Lord, why? Don't you care? Care that we perish, they asked. And this shepherd was on board. He was in the vessel with them. It was impossible that they should perish. Look, if you will, for a moment in Psalm 121. So many of these, but look at Psalm 121. Read a few verses there. The psalmist here says, verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He's not asleep. He's never asleep. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Isn't that a sweet thought? Isn't that a sweet thought? When you lie down tonight, when you lie down in your bed to sleep tonight, remember that. My great shepherd never sleeps. Right now, while I'm asleep, once I fall off, don't know what's going on outside my door, don't know what danger might be lurking, oh, but the great shepherd, he never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's watching over his sheep. Isn't that comforting? One hymn writer put it this way. Fear not the windy tempest wild. Thy bark they shall not wreck. Lie down and sleep thy helpless child. Thy father's on the deck. The next word is. The Lord is. Present tense. It doesn't say the Lord was, used to be, or shall be. But he is. Right now, child of God, the Lord is your shepherd. Right now, wherever you are at this moment, the Lord is your shepherd. Whatever mountain or whatever valley, it makes no difference with him. He's still your shepherd. Look what David says in verse 4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord is his shepherd. For thou, my shepherd, art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely if the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep, and Psalm 22 is a psalm about that very thing. Verse 1 prophesies the very words of our Savior when he was up on the cross. But if the great shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, surely he'll not forsake them afterwards. David proved, and every believer has, proved the faithfulness of their shepherd over and over again. Haven't you? Haven't I? Look what David says in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And they have. All the days of my life. And when my life is over, then what? Then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He'll hold to my hand as over death's river I go. And safe I will be in beautiful heaven I know. That's what David says. All else here that David expresses with such calm assurance is all because of the shepherd. It's all because of him. He's the reason for all that follows. Like the Apostle Paul. He wasn't sitting in the comfortable church pew when he said, "I know whom I have believed." He was in prison. He was waiting to be executed. But the Lord was still his shepherd at that very moment. Therefore, he could join with David in saying, "I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able." He is able. He's always able. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. If the Lord is my shepherd, then that means he's responsible for me. To seek and to save, to keep, to preserve, to bring me to the Father's house. That's all his responsibility. That's all his responsibility. It's not mine. It's his responsibility. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 13. We referred to this a moment ago. Let's read these two verses. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 20. What a sweet way to close this epistle of Hebrews and to close our day of worship, to close all of our days. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." God brought him from the dead because he promised, once the great shepherd fulfilled all the Father's will, that he would do so in the covenant of grace. "Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And when I die, David says, "My great good shepherd will take me to glory." Hearken unto me. Listen. Listen to what your great shepherd tells you. Listen to what he said. Pretty soon now, each of us, one by one, are going to leave this world. Listen. Listen to what your shepherd says. "Hearken to me, house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am he." I am he. The same yesterday, today, forever. "And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I've made and I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you. And in the resurrection, he'll raise me up with a body made like unto his own glorious body. All of this because the Lord is my shepherd." David says, "That's why I shall not want. I shall not lack anything I need." We feed on the best food in the world, don't we? We're kept alive, feasting upon the bread of life. We're the best dressed people in the world. The best, aren't we, Lord? We're wearing the robe of Christ's righteousness. All that glitter, all that glitter, all that jingle, all that pling that the Pope has on, it's nothing. I'm dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nobody's dressed better than that. And David says, let's read the psalm and I'll be done. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Augustus Toplady said, when a saint dies, he just moves from the church below to the church above. We just move upstairs in the Father's house. Thank God that the Lord is our shepherd. Amen. God bless you.